Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name to everyone that's here. Thankful for every soul that's here this morning. Isn't it such a blessing to be in a place like this? Be able to worship God with other believers and worship Him in song and in reading the Scripture, studying the Scripture. I've been blessed this morning. Thank you for each one and their contribution. You know, even if you're sitting on the bench, you haven't gotten up front yet this morning, you still are making a contribution to our worship this morning in singing, in attention, in sharing. God bless you for that. Brother Clement introduced my message this morning in his Sunday school. I'm sure he did not realize that. But at the beginning of the Sunday school, if you remember, he read the verses from Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. He was talking about the two kingdoms. And he said that Jesus is offering rest. And Satan, on the other hand, is as a roaring lion going about devouring people. So Matthew 11, 28 to 30, you may turn to that chapter, to that passage. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Then I will read it again. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's quite an offer, isn't it? Jesus says, "Come." That's just a simple word. Come. When did you learn what that word meant? I don't remember when I learned what the meaning of the word come is. I know right now that one of my daughters is learning that word. She's learning what that word means. Come. She knows what it means. She just has to learn to obey. And I'll ask you to pray for me that I would be consistent in teaching her that. Come. Jesus' offer is more than come. It's come unto me. He tells us where to come to. Come. Come unto me. Now, let's just think about the grounds of his offer. What does Jesus have to back up his offer of come to me? What resources does he have? And we'll look at some more things that he says, but just thinking about who is saying this. Of course, we know it's Jesus Christ, but look in Matthew 11. Verse 27, it's a verse right before we read. It said Jesus is, after some discussion that he had with his disciples and some of the people that he was working with, then he reflects. And he's thanking the Lord. He thanks his Father in heaven in verse 25 and goes on. In verse 27, then he says this, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." And so Jesus has the resources. Jesus has the resources when he says, come. He's saying it with authority. He's able to deliver whatever he's going to offer us. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And we know that Jesus said later, before he ascended, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Matthew 28:18. So all things are given to him, and all power is given unto him. How can he not? How can he not fulfill what he promises? Now, thinking a little bit about who Jesus said this to, perhaps it was just his disciples that were close by. But if we look at what he reflected on in verse 25, he says, At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now, we know that most of Jesus' disciples were not educated people. They were of the common people, a common man. The peasants, you might say, of that day. But at the same time, they were industrious people. You know, think of the occupations that they were engaged in when Jesus called them. But they were, as a whole, they were looked on as unlearned. And that's, Jesus is talking here that these things, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. And if you look back in chapter 11, it's the chapter where the disciples of John the Baptist come to Jesus and they have a question from John and John is asking Jesus, are you really the Messiah? And Jesus says, well, look at these miracles that I'm doing. Look, you stay with me and see what's happening. And then you go tell John what's happening. And then Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, who that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the common people, as I said, were not the wise or the clever or the educated, but they were, Jesus says that these things were revealed unto babes. And again, you think about children or babies. You know, they're dependent. They're untaught. They're unskilled. They don't even know how to feed themselves. And it's that attitude that is ready to accept teaching, is ready to accept that I need a Savior. We know that the scribes and Pharisees, the leaders, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they were full of animosity and jealousy of Jesus, but they did not accept that they were sinners needing a Savior. And so, when Jesus says, come unto me, he's talking to those that are dependent, that need feeding, you might say, that need sustaining, that are uneducated. It's that attitude that Jesus can, he come into your life and he can strengthen you and he can fill you with the knowledge of God and he can strengthen you so that you can go out and be a witness for him. So we thought about the grounds of the offer. We thought about who Jesus' invitation is to. Now, what happens if we come? What happens if we respond to his call? Well, we know there's a forsaking of sin. There's forsaking of self. Giving up our own will. And there's a giving up of all our own ambitions and our earthly pursuits. And this is something that comes very close to all of us, at least it does to me. As I'm thinking of coming to Jesus, And we go a little further in this verse, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And don't you just see people? Don't you just see yourself? I see myself as being heavy laden, burdened. You know, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior years ago when I was 13. But Jesus' call is daily, come unto me. And we need to daily come, and because we just collect burdens along the way, don't we? We become heavy laden. And so he says, come unto me. You're working. You're under servitude, labor. You're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A porter is someone who has a job of moving, a lot of times, luggage at a hotel or maybe at an airport, train station. He's in charge of moving the luggage. He's like the baggage handler, you might say. And in the Bible times, the porters were the burden bearers. There was a lot of goods that were packed by human muscles, human energy. Of course, they used animals as well, but there were slaves that were burden bearers as well. Well, Jesus says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, you'll find I will give you rest. And then he says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Now wait. Didn't he just say that I will give you rest? Now he says, take my yoke upon you. That word yoke does not give a picture of rest, does it? When you think about the word yoke, what picture comes into your mind? Probably two things. When I think of a yoke, first thing I think of is something that links two animals together, like an ox bow. A team of oxen could be yoked together, and they could do some work. They could pull a load, or they could pull a plow through a field. The other type of yoke is a bit of a cradle. Try out my artistic abilities here, but it would fit over the shoulders. It would lay across the shoulders, giving room for your neck, but it would lay largely on your shoulders, and then on either side there was buckets or some type of mechanism to hook onto a load. And it was balanced. It worked best when it was balanced, at least. You can picture if you've studied frontier days of this country, you would be able to picture yokes that they used to carry pails of water or milk or maple syrup or other things. But if you were wearing the yoke, you were working. You were in service. Now Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Isn't that putting burdens back on us? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke, and then later on he talks about the yoke again. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is calling us to be his servants, to wear his yoke. There's a verse in Romans 6:16. We think about coming unto Jesus and finding rest. It's not necessarily that we're not going to be a servant anymore. We're going to be a servant no matter who we choose as our master. Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So that verse teaches me that I am a servant of sin unless I choose to accept the yoke that Jesus gives. And really, I think we all know that true freedom is not necessarily doing exactly what I want to do. True freedom is not really having my own way, but it's in giving up my will for what God wants, and in that we can find true freedom. Jesus' yoke, he says it's easy. It fits perfectly. Whatever yoke he has designed for you is going to fit perfectly. And his service is easy. He says, my burden is light. You know, in the Old Testament, when Solomon's son Rehoboam became king, a lot of the Israelites had a request to make of him. It was mainly the tribes in the north. They came and they said, Rehoboam, your father Solomon made our yoke heavy, and we're asking you if you would please lighten it. Would you please lighten our yoke? Or would you please lighten those taxes and the other restraints and things that Solomon had required of them? We think about Solomon's reign, and it must have been, we know it was glorious. We know it was wonderful. But as his reign progressed, he must have increased that yoke on his people, the taxes. As his reign progressed, he forsook the Lord for the idols of his women. And that affected how he related to the people of Israel. Well, we know what Rehoboam told them. He said, I'm going to make it heavier. Your father was, he made your yoke, I'm going to make the yoke I give you, I'm going to make his look light. He said, he chastised you with whips, I'm going to chastise you with scorpions. And we know how that split the kingdom. But Jesus says, my burden is light. Turn with me to Matthew 5. Just think a little bit how Jesus' burden is light. What is it that he asks us to carry? What is it that he asks us to do? And how do we do it? I'm going to read the Beatitudes here in Matthew 5. I think this is This is how Jesus wants us to live, what he wants us to do. This is his burden. We'll read verse 3 to 12. Jesus said this, Matthew 5, 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. One of the reasons that Jesus' yoke is easy is because of what's ahead, what he's going to bless us with in the future if we are faithful. You know, his yoke isn't going to give us sore shoulders. The yoke of sin will. I think this is what when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, he's calling us to follow his example. And as Jesus began his ministry, we have this Sermon on the Mount where he shows us these attitudes and actions. Be poor in spirit. Be humble. They that mourn, they that are meek, have a hunger for righteousness. Have a hunger for the word. Merciful, be merciful, pure in heart. Be peacemakers. Allow yourself to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. For righteousness' sake. For doing what is right. Even if it's not true. This is what Jesus is asking us. This is the yoke that he's wanting us to wear. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is what Jesus did. This is how he acted. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to show how Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. 1 Peter 2:21 says that Jesus left us an example that ye should follow in his steps. And 1 John 2:6. Let's just turn to 1 John 2:6. Thinking about Jesus' example and how we need to learn of him. 1 John 2, verse 6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Jesus is faithful in giving us this invitation to come. And I had to think about Peter. After Jesus was crucified and rose again, he wasn't around a lot in those 30 days or so before he ascended to heaven. He wasn't with the disciples like he had been. And the disciples, they were trying to find their way in all of this. And in John 21, We have the account of when there were some of them in Galilee, and Peter was one of them. I think there's about seven others, and he said, I'm going to go fishing. And we know the story. They said, we're going to go along. And they went back to their, back to the old occupation, we might say. Peter went back to that. Went back to the old burden. And we know how it went, the story. It was too heavy, wasn't it? They fished all night and didn't catch anything. And in the morning, they were about 300 feet from the shore, and they saw a man on the shore. And this man calls them. He said, Have you caught anything? They said, no, we've been fishing all night and haven't caught a thing. Well, he said, cast your net on the right, and you'll catch something. And they did it. And we know that they caught a great multitude of fishes. And, of course, they knew then, that Peter knew then, that this was Jesus. And as they came, they drug the fishes into the shore, and they all came ashore, and there was Jesus, and he had a fire there, coals, and he had fish. He had a meal already. And then he said, come. Come and dine. And they sat down and ate. And then we know that Jesus pointed out to Peter that it doesn't work to go back to the old burden. It doesn't work. But that to carry his yoke was to follow Jesus in serving others. Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. Now, through all of this, we find rest. Let's go back to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We know that Peter found that rest, didn't he? He found that rest in following Jesus. Going back to these two yokes, I suppose we could say this, it could be this yoke Jesus was talking about, but when you think of two animals, the two animals in the yoke have to be matched, don't they, for it to work? They both have to pull. They both have to be matched as far as their strength. And for me, it just doesn't seem like, it seems like this is the yoke Jesus is talking about. Because Jesus is, he's all-powerful. I'm not saying that would not work. We think about, you know, teaming up with Christ, maybe you could say it that way. But when we think about Jesus' yoke being easy and his burden light and finding rest, I think it's simply that we find rest in serving Christ by wearing that, putting that yoke on our shoulders. You know, on Friday evening, Bernal and Ashton and I, we were headed over to school to mow. About 6:30, and I've only lived here in Missouri 3 years, but I've run that 52 highway very, very often, a couple times a day, going to school. And I just noticed, you know, there's just a lot of traffic coming toward me, and there would be these huge packs of about, you know, 9 or 10 cars, and they go past, and then pretty soon here comes another big pack, you know, all bunched up behind the slowest vehicle in the front. And I said to the boys, yeah, this is a lot of traffic here. But they were all headed They were all headed this way towards Barnett and east. And I thought about it. You know what? This is Labor Day weekend. These people are headed for the lake Friday evening. I think there were people that were heavy laden, burdened. Headed for the lake, try to find some rest. But they won't find it there. They only find it in Jesus Christ. We find rest for our souls. You can go down to the lake and you can enjoy it. But you won't find rest for your soul there. Well, it's been good for me to look at this. I've needed these verses. You know, right now we're in the middle of searching. We're looking. My wife and I are looking for a house, we're looking for a place to live. And we're not finding rest in that yet. We haven't found it yet. And it's wearing on me a little bit. But I was blessed as I studied for this message and as I shared it that in Jesus we can find rest. Even in things like looking for a house, we can have rest knowing that He'll supply the needs. As we're faithful and committed to serve Him. And whatever it is in your life, He'll supply those needs. He'll bring rest to your soul. But we have to come, and we have to have that desire to be taught. Jesus said, "Learn of me, and then I'll give you rest." Let's kneel for prayer.